Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's jump in right away. It's 1:08. Let's go to the scene of the story that everybody is discussing, the horrifying fires around Los Angeles. And our friend Jamie Yukis is with us. Of course, Jamie lives in the area. She works in the area. She is covering the story. We know because of where she's at, the cell phone may go in and out, but when you get somebody who's there, somebody who I love, somebody who I care about, and so many people feel the same way about her, we're going to get her on. Okay, so talk about the fact that the other day we were dealing with consistent 40, 50, 60-mile-an-hour winds, gusting to 80, 90, and I watched, and some of what you were saying, too, that the winds have abated at least a little bit, so some of the helicopters and planes can get up in the air and try to attack the fire in that manner.
Yeah, I just had one go overhead, actually, and we were watching this morning as a lot of those planes were picking up water from the Pacific Ocean to take and dump. But I have to tell you, being a Los Angeles resident, this has been so anxiety-inducing. Even though I'm in a location where I live that has not been impacted, but you could still see the flames from the Palisades fire from my house on Tuesday night and last night. Then all of a sudden we had, fires breaking out in the Hollywood Hills last night. It's just been a rolling alert system. You know, we heard about the Palisades fire, then came the fires in Altadena near Pasadena and that area. And then last night to have those fires go up in the Hollywood Hills that luckily firefighters were able to get under control very quickly. It's just been, you're kind of in a heightened state. And I'm somebody who's covered a lot of fires, but even I, where I live, I used to think, oh, there's no way that, you know, we'd have a problem here. I was getting together the documents that I would need to take, contact lenses, medications, making sure everything was out, because it's just been very, you don't know what's going to happen. And I will say that everyone in Los Angeles I've talked to knows someone who has lost their home, or is looking for a place to stay. So this is gonna significantly change Los Angeles. And I will tell you, being out in the Malibu area, I know so many people who come to visit. They love visiting Malibu, right? Mm-hmm. And you know all the landmarks. You know places like the Real Inn, which is a fish market and restaurant that's been around for 36 years. There's Moon Shadows, where I spent my 40th birthday.
Yep.
So even if you don't know someone who is directly impacted by loss, you do have your own memories that you've likely made
100%.
Here that are now gone.
Yeah, I'll just briefly say this, and I want to get back to it. With the Wolves, I probably traveled out to L.A. 55, 60 times for other business or work or fun. I've traveled out there 25 times, and the number one place I've stayed, Santa Monica, right?
Yeah.
And I've traveled out to Pacific Palisades, I don't know, 15, 20 times. Malibu, 50 times. Like, I'm not a native, but I know that area.
You know the area.
Know the area well. Okay. I want you to expand. By the way, signal's perfect here. Just expand on how this fire, and you did a great job earlier, just expand, how this fire is different from all of our other conversations the last 10, 11 years when we've talked about fires in the area. Because I even go back to Majors moving out there. I was talking to Paul, and at some point in the aughts, he's like, you know, we've just come to realize there's no fire season anymore. It's just, it's, you know what the fire season is? January 1st to December 31st.
Well, I have to tell you, the last the last 2 years, we had a reprieve. We had very wet winters, and we had almost a typical season because we had had such wet conditions 2 winters ago and last winter. I mean, you may even remember when we had a tropical storm that hit as yeah. well as an earthquake in the same day.
Right.
So I'm not saying that it got back to normal by any means the last 2 years, because the weather's been anything but that here in Los Angeles. But this year, I mean, think about this. On average, we get an inch. I think it's like 1.16 inches of rain is what our average should be for this time of year. That's the average. Now, that's dry years, wet year, you know, that's where we should be right now. We have had 0.2 inches of rain. And what's happening is that the northern part of California is getting all of the wet weather. They've had something like 20-30 inches of rain so far this season. So they're getting plenty of rain in northern California. We've got nothing. I mean, 0.2 inches of rain is nothing
yeah.
for us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So everything's dried out. You think of like, the last 2 winters have been wet. What does that mean? Well, once it gets warm, you have all the vegetation that comes, and it's green, and it's beautiful, and you have flowers, and you have the super blooms, and it's amazing. And all of that dies the minute it gets too hot. And then it's fuel for all of these fires. So we are now stuck, and we've had very low humidity happening. And then you get winds where I was told this morning by the fire public information officer that was on site that they did record a 99-mile-per-hour reading in Malibu.
Wow.
Of fire. So think about wow. that. That is strong. And that's not sustained wind. So meteorologists don't like comparing it to a hurricane.
Yep.
But hurricane force winds are at 75 miles per hour. So yep. you're at least getting gusts at almost 100 miles per hour. So it's like taking a blowtorch to these areas and that are dry as can be. You know, like the stuff that you use to light your fireplace, that's
yeah.
what our hillsides are like right now, right? And you're putting a blowtorch to it. So, and they had to fight that for hours upon hours. We are in a little bit of a lull right now in terms of the wind conditions, which is good. And when I say lull, I mean, it's still, we're getting gusts of, you know, 20 miles per hour. So it's not like it's calm by any means. You're still getting gusts of wind. But firefighters are able now, at least at this rate, are able to get that aircraft up. But, you know, I mean, there's only so much that they can do. And the other problem with this, when you had the Woolsey fire, it was horrible. I covered it. It was terrible. I was frightened a couple times because I got stuck in places that I shouldn't have been. Homeowners, so many homeowners lost their homes in Malibu. I don't want to discredit that fire, but this is completely different in the sense you had a fire in the Palisades that spread for miles up into Malibu. I was 5 miles away today where Moon Shadows is located, a restaurant that a lot of people go to
yep,
out here.
I've been there a bunch.
And it's gone. Yeah. So that they were telling me this morning with that wind speed, embers were being carried at a rate of 2 miles away. So you then go to the areas of like Altadena and to the east of us
yeah.
along the mountains. So the mountains usually, you know, if you're on the hillside, you're in trouble,
yep.
but not down in the, you know, the flats.
Yes.
You're supposed to be okay. But the embers were traveling 2 miles away and neighborhoods got decimated. Now, there's been a lot of criticism. I'm not going to, in terms of leadership here,
yep.
All I'll say is, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about this. The mayor was not here.
Yep.
I feel like the mayor probably, you know, is going to look
should
back
have
on
been
this.
There.
Yep. I'm talking about this with you because
yep.
I remember when issues happened during George Floyd.
Correct.
And
visibility matters.
Right. It does. And it doesn't matter, you know, if it's a professional reason. We knew that these were going to be unprecedented winds that took place. We knew that it was dry. People are questioning where Mayor Karen Bass was. And she was in Africa on a presidential delegation to Ghana. She is back. She appeared at the press conference this morning. I think there's going to come, you know, there will be a lot of questions for leaders as to what the response was. We do know, I was talking to the fire, the Los Angeles City public information officer this morning for fire. He told me in his best case scenario, He thinks we need at least 60 more fire stations across Los Angeles. There hasn't been additional money put in the budget for 20 years. In fact, there has been some cutting of the budget, which is it's an enormous budget. But he said with what we're seeing in the areas we're seeing it that we've never seen it before, with the wind conditions that we're seeing, he believes in Southern California we need at least 60 more fire stations.
That's stunning. Okay, can I just chime in on Bass? Because I agree with you 100%. Visibility matters. I saw the press conference last night. I read about this morning. When she, though, was asked before she gave the press conference last night, Jamie, two questions, and she sat there and froze for 60 seconds. It was kind of like, what are you doing here? You're the mayor of L.A. So when we talk about these budget cuts from the fire department, now she's the mayor of L.A., and there's this debate, is that affecting the fire departments when we're in Pacific Palisades and Malibu, or do they have their own budgets? Is that definitely
that's LA.
Yeah, that's what I assume, because I'm getting a little pushback on that. Now, we still have the president and the governor going back and forth on the whole raking and whether it's relevant, whether it's not. How much of that conversation is taking place, or is even any of that taking place? Because most people are just trying to either stay alive, get belongings, or worried about what's going to happen to them.
That's what I was going to say is I think, you know, I'm starting to see the conversation pop up online. And I think people who, you know, I've seen celebrities and things come out with very harsh criticism. But I will tell you on the ground, no one's talking about that. I mean, I'm looking at the devastation. The conversation is more, how is this going to change Los Angeles? Because if you look at, I was also told today, and I need to look further into this, but I had a firefighter tell me that a lot of those little beach houses next to places like Moonshot, you know, you can't even see the ocean because there's all these little beach bungalows and houses and things, and people rent them out or have family reunions and stuff there. It's supposedly, what I was told by a firefighter, that's all leased property from the city of Los Angeles. So may be able to come in now and say, you know what, we don't want this to ever happen again. We're going to take it back. And it's now, there's beach access to the public. Significantly change what the coastline has looked like for several decades. So we'll see what happens there. It's going to be at least a decade in my mind before all of this gets rebuilt, and if it even gets rebuilt.
Can I take the over? I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
You know, I just go, how about people trying to get insurance going forward?
Well, that's the other, you know, question I think people are having. There's also, I'm hearing from people that their policies were canceled or, you know, there just wasn't, they were having to pay astronomical amounts of money to get insured. So that's going to be another debate that ends up happening. You know, I mean, and then going, hello, we're California, we're the fifth largest economy in the world.
That's right.
Like, why am I paying all these taxes? Why, you know, and it's a good, those are good questions. You know, what is our money going to? What is, you know, could this have been a different story? I will tell you, this is worse to me than an earthquake. Like, we talk about the big one happening to LA and how that would change the landscape.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is worse because there, Chad, when I say there's nothing left, like, we just drove through a neighborhood in the Palisades, it's foundation. There's no mementos. There's no, like, ruffling through.
Everything's gone.
You know, seeing if it's gone. When I say gone, foundation. Nothing.
I brought that up earlier. I can't imagine. I want all of us listening right now, think about that. I don't care if you got the biggest mansion ever, you got a one-bedroom apartment, your belongings, you're never seeing them again. These mementos, these pictures, something you've saved forever. Let me do this, because I know you've stayed way long with us, and I really appreciate it. Can I ask this, because we still don't know. How'd the fire start?
We don't know.
Do they have a theory right now at all?
No one has come out. I will say in the Palisades fire, there are some residents questioning. They had seen a fire pop up on New Year's Eve. Helicopters came out. They supposedly put it out. People are wondering if it's if this was in the same spot, but no one knows how that original fire starts. So there's going to be, when I say there's a lot to dig into, this is, you know, this is day, what is today, Thursday? I don't even know. Today, yes. Thursday. We've been in this, what, 48 hours now, yep. And we've had other fires pop up since then. I mean, just this one fire I'm at alone, there's 10,000 questions as to what went wrong. How did we get here? Was money not allocated the right way? How did this start? Now multiply that by four. So there's a lot to dig into. I think we'll be talking about this for quite some time.
This conversation is another reason why you're so damn good at what you do. I mean, this was relatable. It was journalism. It was professional. And it was you. And I'm lucky to have you as a great friend. Stay safe.
Thanks, Jeff.
And I'll be staying in touch with you. And I'll be watching all your coverage.
Yeah, please do.
Thanks, Jamie.
Okay, bye.
She is the best. 28 past one here on CCO. On a scale of 0 to infinity, how much have you missed the two of us?
There's no negative option.
Wow. I mean, it's a new year. I have feelings. Dave, do you have feelings? I'm not sure sometimes.
I've got a couple.
Couple feelings. We look up at you as a veteran, hard scrabble journalist. We look to learn from you.
Well, there's your first problem.
Yeah, your words of wisdom, and right away,
yeah. An icon of the city
icon.
Of Pittsburgh,
icon
all the way to Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Exactly, and then I'm excited to talk to her. I'm so excited that I forgot to include her in the tweet. So I apologize for that. Yeah, I just added it.
Wow.
Now I gave you the
okay.
I gave you the solo tweet right now.
Uh-huh.
Right now, Rena's. You can hold on. You can listen. Radios that were listening to Common or listening to music are now clicking over.
Click.
Because
mm-hmm.
they want to hear you. And the first thing they heard was, is a negative an option?
Wow. I guess they're used to that on your show, though.
This is a show of ebullience, of happiness, of joy.
Right.
And of carefree laughter.
Right. I forgot. I've been gone so long that I forgot that is your main mission.
Yes. That is it. Okay, so summarize the last, I don't know, 7 months since we last talked. Was it middle December? It's been crazy how the schedule has worked out. Dave, do you have the date?
It was the 11th was the last time
gosh,
we spoke with her.
Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we were gone on the 18th. You had an issue that day, and I was out
that?
As well.
She just said a full month of freedom.
Yeah.
She feels like she's a hostage of some sort.
Not quite. It's only the 9th. Calm down.
She's been sucked back in. Psst, come here. Come here. Right? And she fell right in the trap. Right in the trap. How was your Christmas? Why don't we start there? How was Christmas?
It was all delightful. All good. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm wound too tight.
Yeah, we do.
So.
We're aware.
So. Christmases are stressful for me.
Yeah, I bet.
Holidays are stressful for me.
Give us the top three reasons why Christmas is especially stressful for WCCU-TV's Rena Sargentopoulos.
Well, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh, you just
yes.
you get a different feel for things.
Yes.
I want everything to be perfect. And so...
Yep.
I feel like I have to do everything myself. It's not that other people don't want to help. It's literally like, I don't know how to delegate.
Oh.
I'm not putting this on anyone.
That's
but
a bad.
I don't know how to delegate.
You need to be better.
I'm wound too tight. I know.
When people offer, I think all of us have a little bit of that in us, but you know, it matters. So like when people like your husband and others are offering help, are you just like, no? I'm doing it? Is that kind of your response?
I think my husband's so used to me just doing everything that he just expects it now. And again, not his fault. But I asked him to do one thing this year. He was, because I was like, I need help. I can't do this by myself anymore. He's like, okay. And I asked him to do one thing. And then it was like, it took him so long to do it that I started to get like anxiety, panic attack sort of thing. But I was like, nope, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. And he did it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing about dynamics of friendships and relationships, especially around the holidays, Rena, that we all kind of have different timelines. And if it's normally typical time during the year, it's like no big deal. When there are a lot of things that need to come together, my timeline compared to your timeline, it matters a hell of a lot more.
It does.
Yep.
And when you're wound too tight, it really matters.
Yeah. And normally, the three of us in this conversation, it's a curse, but we're all perfect. So it's not easy then to deal with others who don't haven't achieved that level of perfection.
Exactly.
Did
you experience this for your Christmas?
We had a pretty good Christmas. Unfortunately, Q got sick.
Then
he had a seizure, and so it kind of, that was sad. That was sad.
Yeah.
And it's now a new tradition because last year in the middle of the Christmas festivities, I started saying, I'm getting sick. And then by 7 o'clock, I took a test and I had COVID. So it's a new Christmas tradition at our house. Who's going to get sick next? You know, new games. Spin.
Everyone has been sick, though.
Yeah.
COVID, norovirus, like, it is all going around.
Yeah, that's...
I don't talk to people anymore.
No.
I'm like, don't talk to me. You stand 11 feet away.
You only talk to people when you're doing the feature on them when they're retiring. That's when they bring you in.
That's my new thing.
That's
my new thing.
Whenever Julie or Belle retire...
Oh, I can't. I can't do that one.
You're going to have to do a one-month feature on those two.
I can't. No.
Honestly.
I can't do that. I can't do that. And when Boyd leaves, I can't do it either. I can't be responsible for that situation.
I didn't even bring up Boyd because you know when Boyd retires? Ken Burns is coming in. Right? I mean, Ken Burns has to be brought in because of how amazing.
Just to do this feature.
Yeah. His health battles and the great storytelling and then what an amazing person he is. You know, it's like, no. Okay. What food did we eat on Christmas?
Normal stuff. I think we had Christmas Eve. I think we had steak and pasta, and that's actually probably not really traditional. I don't know. Maybe if you're Italian.
Yeah.
Christmas Day again was steak again, I think.
I don't think you can double it, Dave.
Like weeks ago now.
Dave, can you double up on steak? I think Christmas Eve and Christmas dinner should be slightly different.
It'd be nice to mix it up
a little bit.
It was different at my place. I'm sure it was different at your place.
Different at my place, yeah. Well, I mean, we put some effort into it.
Why do you hate all the cattle ranchers of the United States? Why do you not like cattle producers? And what is it that you have against them from making a profit?
I believe in cows. This show is pro-cows. Dave, give us a little cows.
I'm pro-cow, too. They're delicious.
Moo. Right there on WCC Radio, if we were just talking about the fires, we're now mooing. Right here on WCC Radio.
This is what I bring to your show.
Thank you.
Absolutely nothing.
Can we hear your mooing? Give us a little moo.
Oh, there's not a chance on earth, friend.
Moo.
Please.
Dave, one for you.
Moo.
That's a cow in heat. I don't think we needed to go there. I'm a little uncomfortable. Okay, so was it steak and pasta also? Was it just leftovers?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe it was just leftovers.
God, this is like a month ago now.
We haven't talked.
I had for lunch yesterday. I don't remember. It was delicious. I know I made a salad one of those nights that was delicious.
Nice. How about New Year's Eve? Were you out boozing, dancing? At a hoity-toity club, or were you?
By boozing and dancing, you mean sleeping and laying down? Then yes.
I think those are two different things. I got to be honest.
Okay, no, I did nothing. I did nothing.
Took your teeth out at about.
Happy about it.
Took your teeth out at about 8:30, and that was it.
Yeah. What about you? Were you out partying?
No.
Had
the kid. Had some fun. Had the gal over. We had some good food. I'd like to say I know instantly what it was because I just was kidding you about it. And then I'm thinking right now.
See?
What did we have?
Steak and pasta.
Steak.
We went to where you live in, not a lot of people know this, you live in Hinckley. And you drive every day.
Yeah.
I went to Hinckley and I went through your leftovers and I saved them for 5 days. How long is...
Why would you do such a thing?
Yeah, that'd be bad. How long does Rena Sargentopoulos from KMSB TV, how often do you go past the expiration date on your
Almost
mail?
Never.
Never?
Almost never. There's a date there for a reason.
See, I'm with you, but let's bring in the third member of the conversation. Because
well, the cheapest member of the conversation.
I think he's willing to go like 6 months. Like,
no.
He thinks it's just a suggestion.
Well, some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an expiration or is it a best buy date? It's a completely different thing. Like box of crackers. Are you paying attention to the expiration date?
Well, normally the expiration date is like 5 years ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
And I can be one where, okay, let's go to the pantry. It's been about 7 years since we've cleaned the pantry out or I've cleaned the pantry out. And all of a sudden you see, my God. This is from the Carter administration. I thought I'd work in the former president since he passed. His funeral was today, and you're like, now I will say this. My father used to be the worst at this. This is kind of gross. I'm just going to be honest. One time he totally forgot to throw some milk at his place in the St. Croix, and I hadn't been there months. And we went out there, and we smelled it, and it was god-awful. And then when it came out of the carton, you'll never drink milk again. It came out of the carton like it was cottage cheese. And people wonder why I don't drink a lot of milk just on my own. I think that's why.
Scarred.
Yeah.
Mentally scarred.
I seems like you are now up at a corner right now after hearing that story.
that's terrifying.
Yeah, that is
no,
terrifying.
Thank you.
All right. Put Reen on hold. It's just normal nonsense, Reen. We've been talking very serious stuff. We talked Jimmy Carter's funeral. We talked instantly pointing fingers about the fire. We had Jamie live on the scene. So we can talk expiration dates. Tell me your thoughts, 651-461-9226. Do you view them as a suggestion or are you, hey, it gets within 2 or 3 days and I'm throwing this bleep out of there because I'm that guy. And Reen is that gal. And meanwhile, you're... I know better.
Yeah, well, if it smells bad, it still might be worth a shot.
Ugh, gross. 651-461-9226. Okay. Dave, I want you to share this story with Reena and the audience that you shared with me about your lovely wife's food.
It was food that you experienced.
Uh-oh. Microphone.
Yeah, microphone should be on. That
yep.
helps. I think it was last Tuesday I brought you and Susie Jones in some leftovers of some Thai red curry that my wife had made for our daughter's birthday the previous Saturday. So you experienced it. It was delicious, right?
It was. I really liked it when I had it 6 months ago.
Well, you had it on the 31st.
Okay.
It was made on the night of the 27th for the birthday that was the following day.
The 28th. Even, can I just comment briefly? Even then, if I would have known Reena was 4 days, when it's curry, I still might have been, are we pushing it?
Did we push it?
Yeah.
No, it was good, but I'm starting to think maybe that's why I don't remember what I ate on New Year's Eve because I was in the bathroom from your curry.
Well,
That was old then.
You know it's not true. You knew exactly Reena, when the birthday was celebrated.
If curry is 4 days old, you're comfortable, you're wary, or no chance?
I am wary.
You're
that
wary.
Literally on the border. On the border.
Okay, we're going past the border. Keep going, Dave.
What if it's 13 days old because I finished it this morning
you
for breakfast?
Better not. Are you kidding me? Did you at least freeze it in between then and now?
No. No, there was a couple
Think
days.
Think about what he just said. The word he used, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you missed it, was no.
There was a couple days late last week when I had been eating it, and I had a little, rumblings in the tummy. Things weren't very happy in the evenings. I said, I think that's it. But then that continued over the weekend when I wasn't eating the curry. So then I said, I guess that wasn't the problem. So I've had it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I finished it this morning.
Think about this guy.
It was delicious.
And as I just told him.
Okay. I have a bigger question when you're done.
Yeah, well.
That food safety.
I just told him when he dies later today and I'm asked to appear at the funeral, I'm just going to rip him. Like, I mean, it's supposed to be, oh, geez, Dave, we're going to miss him. I'm going to say, what kind of moron has curry 17 days after it's made? And also, I need the guy.
kind of ego do you have that you think you're going to be asked to come to the funeral?
Okay. Asked. I will be asked to speak. Okay. I assume I'll be the feature.
I need to talk here.
Go
Dave
ahead.
Harrigan.
Yes.
Yes.
I think you need to sit down for this one, Dave.
Your wife made soup for your child's birthday party.
It was a spicy Thai curry that the daughter requested for her birthday.
She likes spicy food. I'm proud of that,
too.
Yeah.
Okay. So then 5 days later, you have enough left over to bring in leftovers. And then for the next 13 days, you continue to eat said soup. Did she cook this in a vat in a commercial kitchen somewhere? Like, how much soup did this woman create?
She thought she was making lunch for the Minnesota Vikings, and it turned out it was for her daughter. She got confused who she was making it for.
A lot of curry. That's a lot of curry. Biggest pot we have.
That's an excellent observation by Rita.
God. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
a lot of curry.
Let's be honest. It's a family of four. Okay, so family of four. I've been there. Rena, you've been there. We've all been there.
And we were feeding grandparents and things like that.
Well, let's just play along, Rena. You've been there.
I've been there.
You made leftovers for like 2 days, right? That's about it. You know, we'll have the meal. Let's say we have it on a Tuesday. By Thursday, we're wrapping it up. Okay. Now, if it's a freeze food, that's a different situation, right? But Dave looked at you like, freeze? Why would I do that? I'm going to play Price is Right with my stomach.
Is there a problem there?
I don't know, man.
I rely on this guy every day.
There's, again, now your second problem.
Oh, my God. I mean, to me, that's my first problem. Okay. Among the texts here, my wife just cleaned out our pantry, found a can of pumpkin pie filling that expired, wait for it, January 2007.
I'll take that off your hands.
You can't because he opened it up, tasted it, seemed fine, but she vetoed my suggestion. Oh, my
gross.
God. At work, a guy was cleaning out the refrigerator, took out some fried chicken that was old, was moldy. The owner complained, asked what color the mold was because, wait for it, not all mold is bad.
I mean, penicillin, you know.
Oh, my God. Vortex. I'm fine going past a few days for chicken, meat, and dairy. As long as this passes the smell and visual test, I had some Costco pumpkin pie from Thanksgiving, mid-December. Seemed fine. Maybe a little GI grown. What? Okay, let me just be diplomatic here. I get it if financially you are facing challenges. Okay, so we have the caveat before I get that text attacking me here. So I get it if you're in a difficult spot. I hope you have an amazing 2025, and by the end of it, you own the biggest mansion in the country. But if not, Rena, are you ever having food where, by the way, could be spicy because you like spicy food, right?
I do, yes.
You think I like spicy food, but you know that maybe not a certain spicy margarita, but that's a separate story.
Correct.
But I don't ever sit there and say, wow. I'm probably going to get, or there's a 50-50 chance I'm going to get sick from this food because it's so old. What the heck? Let's roll the dice.
Yeah, no.
No.
I don't get it. I don't get the mentality.
You people need to learn to live. It's like skydiving every day when I go into the fridge. I'm staring death in the face.
all heroes, Rita, don't wear a cape.
Mm-hmm. Some just have a fork and a spoon and a nice little bowl.
Lots of toilet paper.
Exactly. Yeah, all great texts. I can't even get to all of them, but the texters are just better than all of us. I drank a glass of 25-year-old wine at a New Year's party this year. Older than Rena. Wow, what a compliment to you, too.
Oh, nice.
And it was as good as the one-year-old Cabernet I had the week before. Was disappointed? Shouldn't thrown out? I don't think. I kept in a good place for 25 years.
It all tastes the same.
Okay, but like there are certain vintages of wine and alcohol where how they're preserved it's better. I don't think this was a previously open bottle arena from 25 years ago. They went, hey, we forgot about this one. Let's finish it.
Yeah. No. And like you said, many wines are better the older they get.
Yes. Yes, that is that's correct. Are you working today?
I am indeed. Thanks for noticing.
4, 5, 11, 4, 10, 5, 6. Yeah. Can we get
4, 5, 6?
Can we get some sort of special message out? How about this one? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Can we get that at some point tonight?
Okay.
Because I think she can work that in, right, Dave?
Plenty of stories that would work.
Plenty of stories that work, but that'll be to us. Which one are we getting that at? The 4 or the 5 or the 6?
I don't know. I have to plan that out. I'll have to go search.
Yeah.
Where that could be fitted.
So that's good programming, though.
I'll probably forget if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah. That's good programming also because you want the audience, tens of millions listening, to watch no matter what.
Yes.
I'm going to hit a button. We got to go. See you.